On the one hand, I'm a big chicken. I don't skydive, I don't gamble for big stakes, and I do not see scary movies. But on the other hand, I'm a huge movie fan, and I really like to see everything that's nominated for the Oscars. There were a lot of great movies this year. 1917, epic. Little Women, dear. Marriage Story, heartbreaking and somehow hopeful. The Irishman, bleeping great. Knives Out, clever. And I was promised by a number of people, including my children, that despite Parasite's scary name, and though the trailer for Parasite is a scary trailer, it's not really a scary movie. So I watched it, and I can tell you for certain that they lied. Parasite has a whole host of gotcha moments. The movie takes so many twists and turns, has so many "are you kidding me?" reveals. It's exciting to watch. Is it scary? Yes. Any movie that suggests that I may not know what's going on in my own house, that's scary. Though this movie's tale of two interdependent families in South Korea is uniquely odd, its humanity has universal appeal. In the homes of moviegoers across the world, when we now walk into a dark room and flip on the lights, we are now frighteningly aware that we have no idea what is scurrying into the shadows. Parasite makes me wonder, do I have my house in order? How do you know if your house is in order? If you're doing life right? There are so many different things to watch out for, to guard against, to ensure. It feels impossible to be on top of it all. There are so many variables, things that can happen or fail to happen that are beyond our control. If only there were some sort of playbook, some guidelines, some instructions we could follow that would ensure that all will be well. The Decalogue, the Ten Commandments is Torah, a concise listing of rules to follow so we may live. Dr. Paul Huh writes that though we usually translate the word Torah as God's law, it's best translated as God's instruction. When you read the Ten Commandments as God's instructions, you can see them as a gift rather than a list of draconian boundaries or limits. These ten rules are God's gift to you and me. God says, here, do these things. You will live a full life and not have to look over your shoulder if you simply do these things. Unlike Jordan Peele, Stephen King, and Parasite writer Bong Joon-ho, God isn't in the gotcha business. God is in the I've got you business. In Deuteronomy 30:15, we receive a clear choice. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. Choice A, life and prosperity. Choice B, death and adversity. This choice is not from a gotcha God setting us up to fail, but from our God who first gave us life and now invites us to live fully. The scriptural context: Moses is near the end of his life, and after leading the Israelites out of Egyptian slavery and through the desert for 40 years, He's taking stock of his life, like many folks do in their later years. He's passing down wisdom, like a grandpa does to a grandchild. He's sharing with people how they are to live. Life in the desert is harsh. Food and water are scarce, and enemies are abundant. People living under stressful situations have a better chance of surviving if the rules are clear and followed. Moses' message isn't a gotcha message, as in do this or else. Moses points out in the very first verse today that we are given a choice. We are offered life. He's urging us to say yes. Moses' words sound like a restriction to those of us living in a world of rules. But his urging to choose life is not a restriction. It's a prescription. We Presbyterians choose to read the Bible while paying close attention to context. What was happening in the world at that time? What were the customs? What was the culture like? What would these words mean to the original audience? Often, we don't take scripture literally, but instead deduce the meaning given all the information we have. For example, a day may not necessarily be 24 hours, but one complete cycle. Or 40 days or 40 years may not be measured in exact hours, but instead, it's language that means a really long time. But here, it's pretty clear that Moses is speaking literally. Moses is saying, follow God's law, the Ten Commandments, so you can survive. So you won't be killed by your children or your neighbor. So your enemies won't attack you because you took what is theirs. So you'll put your energy into meaningful work that will feed you, that will house you, that will keep peace in the community. In Jesus' time, he preaches the same message but employs the use of the word life in a more nuanced way. Yes, as Moses said, following the law will help you survive. And Jesus says, there is so much more. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is offering us far more than survival. He who believes in me will never die. Jesus offers us eternal life. Well, what about right now? What if you're pretty sure you can survive and you don't want to wait for eternity to grasp life? Well, we heard Leanne read Psalm 119. Happy are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Happy are those who keep God's decrees, who seek God with their whole heart. Follow God's instructions now, and you'll not only survive, you'll thrive. What's the alternative to living life fully? Its effects may be more subtle than what you would imagine. Those of us not following God's laws are dying a very slow death. Dr. Brett Younger writes, death is a slow process of giving ourselves to what does not matter. We're dying from the effort of wanting, desiring, worshiping what our neighbor has, her new car or her husband or her gorgeous new landscaping. Out of control wanting violates commandments 1, 2, 9 and 10. Well, what's the harm, you ask, in really wanting what our neighbor has? A lack of joy? An inability to be happy? The absence of contentment? Susie the Wanter, her tombstone might read, "Susie was always just a few purchases away from lasting happiness." Consider the alternative. Susie finding joy looking at blooming flowers across the street, celebrating her neighbor's healthy relationship, appreciating the absence of a giant car payment every month. If Susie lived according to God's law, her tombstone could read, "Susie's love of daffodils and friendships enriched her life and the lives of those who knew her." Now that is living fully. We're slowly dying from the effort to keep our story straight, keeping the lies or half-truths in line. Just swear that you're way too busy to spend a day away from work or whatever it is that commands your life, and you've broken commandments 1, 2, and 3. Double down to get out of Sunday dinner with your parents, and you've got number 4 covered too. Aren't you clever the way you can avoid Sabbath? Wow, Stephen was the busiest person in the world. The alternative, if Stephen follows God's instructions, his tombstone might read, "Stephen found deep, abiding joy in honoring God, his family and friends, and himself." Behind curtain A, life and prosperity. Behind curtain B, death and adversity. Like the audience who screams advice on a game show, Moses and Jesus are both saying, "Choose curtain A. Choose curtain A." And here's another gift. Choosing life isn't a one-time do or die decision. Choosing to live is a lifelong process. We say yes to life in big and tiny choices that we make every single day. Crippling guilt from your big night out and what you said and did. Choose to apologize, to take care of your damaged body, and to be the designated driver next time. Steal that clever idea from your colleague or from another student, and it's gnawing away at your conscience. Own up to it. And next time, credit the right person and rise up together. There are a myriad of ways to choose life every single day. Dr. Brett Younger writes a long list that ranges from clean out a drawer to believe that God loves you. I've printed out his list on this yellow piece of paper, and they're in the narthex when you leave. I challenge you to take one home and cross off a few items this week, and cross off some more by the end of the month. Or perhaps consider making one of these your intention that you take on Ash Wednesday and continue to focus on until Easter. But wait, there's more. Choose life and then watch it spread. Because Deuteronomy tells us that if you choose life, you become a blessing to those around you. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live loving the Lord your God, obeying God, holding fast to God. For that means life to you and length of days. Yesterday, during Alice Brandt's funeral, her grandson, Andrew, said that though he is not a member of Pleasant Hill Presbyterian Church, it is clear to his family that our work here is bearing fruit. His family has felt genuinely cared for this past month by a church that they don't even know. Alice was a disciple, a follower of God's law, and a blessing to us. And now, through us, that blessing lives on, and we are passing it forward. Back to Parasite and being scared. Here's what I don't fear. Eternal damnation from a gotcha God because I've lost my temper, taken a wrong turn, or made a bad decision. While the movie Parasite made me scared of something unknown being in my house, I am not afraid of what's in my heart. God is in my heart. A loving, forgiving God who's got me. God who has given me the gift of instruction, a prescription for living, and the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ when I need forgiveness. The law God gives to us is meant not to scare us, but to keep us safe. God is in charge, really and truly. Yes, we make decisions every single day that change the course of our lives, but in the grand scheme of things, God's got us. We are in the palm of God's hand, fearfully and wonderfully made, and then invited to live fully, invited to choose life. And knowing that, I can quit looking over my shoulder, give up my fear of failing God, failing others, failing myself. Within God's laws, there is tremendous freedom. Together, let's choose to embrace life. Amen.